This week, our friends at the Retro Report documentary team remind us that power outages don't need to be the result of natural disasters tearing down infrastructure. In 2003, there was a blackout that began with a simple malfunction that started a chain reaction on a perfectly calm day in August.
We are in the midst of what appears to be a colossal and history-making blackout.
People trapped in elevators and buildings, they have activated the emergency command center.
The subway system is down.
Ottawa is completely without power now.
The lightning-quick domino series of failures.
This week, more than 200 U.S. public and private large power companies are staging a mock blackout to test a system for lessons learned from a decade ago. Jonathan Gruber, Retro Report director, joins us now. Jonathan, welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
Describe the cascade of events that really turned this from what seemed like an East Coast phenomenon to a regional phenomenon.
Well, it was something that really should have been isolated and caught in Cleveland or outside of Cleveland, Ohio. There were a series of power lines that went down on a hot day in August, and people didn't see it. It wasn't monitored properly. Either the local power producer, First Energy, or the regional power coordinator, MISO. One system was supposed to have been upgraded. It was shut down. A fellow went to lunch, didn't turn it back on. And so things cascaded, spiraled out of control. People weren't there to see what was going on. It's really remarkable that something that really some lines that were hot on a hot August day that went into some trees could lead to something like this.
And it went down much more quickly than it was able to be brought back online again, which really reminds us that this is not just a bunch of switches on a wall somewhere that you flick them one way and the lights go off and you flick them another way and the lights go on.
Well, it's one of the amazing things about the grid is that power can be sent hundreds of miles in a matter of seconds. It also is what makes the grid so vulnerable. And then if something happens in one part of the grid, it can affect others. And one of the reasons why it is like that is the grid develops sort of organically because there's no energy storage. When you produce electricity, it's kind of a use it or lose it thing. And local providers in the early 20th century realized that if they joined up with their neighboring power suppliers, that they could share production efficiency. So if someone had extra power, they could ship it over to their neighbor where there might be more demand. It's a great system, but it certainly has its flaws as well.
Can you assess as to whether we are still vulnerable, the grid is still vulnerable to a similar kind of shutdown that starts in a small way but has a huge impact?
Things have really improved in the last 10 years in terms of monitoring, the actual technical equipment that keeps track of things on the grid. Other system operators can look into their neighbor's grid system to say is something wrong. But there's still issues, and things can still happen. Today, we have probably more of an issue of cyber terrorism than there was in 2003. There are situations overseas where power production has been shut down, and that's certainly something that could happen here. It's unclear how safe we are.
And specifically to the Ohio utility that ostensibly started all of this, are they assured that it won't ever happen again here, or could any small little utility trigger this kind of thing in the future?
No one is guaranteeing that this couldn't happen again, but people feel more confident that with these monitoring devices that they have, things called PMUs, phaser measurement units, that they feel more prepared. But I think that what happens with any of these large-scale issues is that you look back and say, oh, why didn't we catch that? Why didn't we catch that? So sure, for a blackout like 2003, we might be more prepared. But for a blackout of 2013 and beyond, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, you're always fighting the last war in the electricity grid, just like on the battlefield. Jonathan Gruber, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Jonathan Gruber is director of Retro Report.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of Science and Health News. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.